Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the late pick five at Del Mar on Saturday, September 9th, 2023. This is show number 242, September 8th, 2023. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, another sequence with Fat Fields at Del Mar.
Yes, last week they kind of chalked out, unfortunately, at least for me. Favorites won almost every race we covered. It didn't look that way to me heading in, but afterwards it was a little disappointing from a results standpoint. But again, this week I think it's a lot of wide open races. Doesn't look like it'll chalk out, but I thought that last week as well.
You never know. Sometimes it just works out that way. The fastest horse wins, which is usually the favorite, is usually the fastest one.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to round two, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly round one begins. If you join the tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck.
And we have a special returning guest. He's an analyst for Optics EQ doing weekend analysis for Del Mar. This is his second time on the Sport of Kings pod. He's Christopher Ado. Christopher, welcome back.
So it's good to be back, Chris and Scott. Thank you so much for having me back, especially for my favorite meet at Del Mar.
All right. Christopher, so you're using Optics EQ. Can you tell us a little bit about how you use it and what it's good for in your handicapping?
Yeah, so I pretty much use the Optics as a way of combining both the trip note aspect of Optics notes as well as the Optics plot. So there are certain things that I used to do that took a lot of time consuming in regards to video replays. And now what I do is that I use the optics notes as a way of conveying those trip notes that people would use on the video replays. And then from those optics notes, which is what the trip note services are called, I relay that back over to the optics plot, which puts horses in different quadrants for early speed, mid-pack stalkers and closers as circles and squares. And determines, you know, their early velocity, which would be early speed, and their ability of late velocity, which would be late kick in, you know, during the running of the race. And so a combination of that just brings out, you know, with the Optics EQ that I convey every weekend in my analysis of Del Mar.
So you're saying you don't have to do video replays now because you trust the Optics notes?
Yep. My video replays has been, it used to be maybe with doing like Formulator, probably about three hours once a week. Now that's just been reduced to whenever I need to pull up a replay, I just watch it.
Well, that's pretty impressive. I'd be interested to hear some of your Optics notes on some of the horses that we have running today. Chris, do you have any questions for Christopher?
So on the Optics plot, they have, you mentioned they have their circles and squares. Circles are the horses that tend to tire late and have they slow down later in the race, and the squares are the ones that maintain their velocity or at least slow down less. Turf races, they might actually be accelerating. So you have these boxes and squares is in different quadrants. Is there anything about Del Mar that makes it special in terms of, you know, are there certain configuration of, you know, squares in a certain quadrant or a really good or really bad? I mean, is there anything that jumps out that's beyond the norm at Del Mar that makes it special?
Yeah, I mean, the pretty much the one, there are two parts of it that I've seen, especially around the turf races and turf routes. And Emily, who I call like one of the best partners in Optic CQ along with John Doyle, is that she provided a trend where during the meet at Del Mar, squares in quadrant two were winning at a very high percentage on the turf course at Del Mar. And so using that profile, you can try to see, okay, what are the certain trends that are going on within, you know, on the specifically around turf routes. And then when it comes around the dirt sprints, high percentage of the time, the quadrant one squares would be a very high percentage of winners. So horses that have at least earlier tactical speeds that are square within quadrant one would be in a high percentage of those races. But the one thing I always say about the plot when it comes to Optics EQ plot is that every race is going to be different. And so we'll show one today in the Del Mar Debutante where you'll see lots of horses in either circles or squares in that quadrant one. And so that will be a definition of a fat that could develop into a very contentious or fast pace.
So that's really interesting. First of all, the squares in quadrant one for dirt sprints, that's pretty universal on almost any track. If a horse is going to be near the lead and it finishes off its race as well, it's probably a good chance it will do well in that race. So that doesn't seem unusual. But the quadrant two squares and the turf routes, you know, quadrant two square means typically, and you can disagree with me if you want on this, but it means that a horse will make kind of a middle move, or it starts out a little bit back in a stalking position. And if it moves up into quadrant two, that means it's making a move a little earlier than, you know, not waiting till the very end to make its move. And that's sort of consistent with the way I've always played the Del Mar turf course. It has sort of a short stretch. And if horses wait too long to make their move, you know, if they wait till they spin out of the turn to come home, it's really hard to catch the front runners. So it kind of forces the riders to make a little earlier move on the turn and to get the right kind of position. So, you know, you can avoid losing too much ground and kind of use centrifugal force in your favor. And some riders were really good at that, and some don't figure it out. I mean, Kent DeSormo, when he was really riding well, probably understood that better than any other rider. But so that profile, the quadrant two square doing well in turf routes, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all, because just that's always been my feeling, you know, on the Del Mar turf, is that you couldn't wait too long to make your move. You kind of had to move a little earlier. So it made sense that horses that were capable of making sort of that move a little earlier and being able to finish off the races would do well on the Del Mar turf course.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there's just certain scenarios where the one thing I learned about the different profiles is that not to be married to a certain track profile, simply because that every race is going to be different depending upon how the race is going to set up, where certain times a quadrant two square could be compromised by a horse that's going to be lower in the quadrant three side. And that's all situation. That's going to be based upon just situation for me when I look at the plot pretty much like to say is that I look at the plot where the key contenders are going to be either hampered or going to be enhanced by how each horse is placed on the center plot for today's race shape.
All right. Well, we'll get a chance to talk about some interesting races where you can point out some of those things as we go through.
All right. Well, we're doing the late pick five at Del Mar, starting with the seventh race. Seventh race is a stakes race. It's the John Maybe Stakes, John C. Maybe. Grade two, mile and an eighth on turf, purse of $250,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Christopher, what is your plot telling you in this race?
Well, the plot pretty much tells me that there's not a whole lot of early speed. The one thing I look at when I look at the plot first is the Arctic's RPM, which would just show the list of horses and their certain running styles, whether there be a front runner as an E, horses that are either early front runners or pressers as EPs, stalkers and closers. And in this race, there's no designated E on the Arctic's RPM. So one thing I look at is seeing what horses are going to be benefited from not having an E, and those will be, to me, horses that are going to be within quadrant one. And the one thing I look for is that I'm looking at is number six, Turner Loose, who on the optics notes, it looks pretty bad because she hasn't won a race since her first start as a three-year-old, and her first and her last three turf starts have been subpar, a sixth, a third, and a fifth. But I can make excuses in two of her last three starts on the turf per the optics on the optics notes, where when she ran at Kentucky Downs back on September 5th, 2022. She ran over a course that, according to the optics notes, was received a lot of rain, and the course was deep, and she couldn't handle that surface. Then she ran third in the Valley View at Keeneland. Then she came back off a 288-day layoff last time out in the Yellow Ribbon in her first start for Phil D'Amato. And the one thing the optics note says is shuffle traffic. So then what I would do here is that if you have any type of extended notes, I will pull up the extended notes, and it says, shuffled into the first turn behind and between horses, stalking duel. So that tells me that the horse did not have a very comfortable trip at all, being in between horses. And, you know, she had to stalk it wasn't a swift pace, but it was a pretty moderate pace when it came to Ganador and Awake at Midnight. So today she is a circle and quadrant one. On both the surface distance and standard, but the way I look at that circle was that those are a reflection of her previous races that I feel that were better than looked. And today with Antonio Frazzo aboard, I think that Turner Loose will be able to dictate terms on the front end by herself. So I look at Turner Loose to be able to take this field gate to wire in the start of the pick five.
Okay. Turner Loose, second off a layoff, as a four-year-old, we like that angle. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, we don't like it. We love it. That's the golden pattern. Came off the layoff, had an excuse, a little bit fresh, a little rank, like Christopher said. They tried to rate her. I think she's better off being forward replaced. I saw read an interview with the trainer saying they're going to let her run this time, which kind of makes sense. And doesn't look like she's going to get any resistance on the front. So I kind of agree with everything Christopher said. I will note, when you said that Kentucky Downs course, it was rated as good, but Timeform US gives course ratings from 1 to 10. And, you know, like a firm track is like an 8 through 10. A good would be like a 6 or a 7. You know, this was rated as a 4. So it was definitely more like a yielding. Or soft, of course, at least. So, you know, that probably was a legit excuse. So, yeah, everything about that horse, and it's trained by D'Amato, who kind of dominates the, you know, turf stakes races out in California. And she'll be on the engine. The other horse I like in here is the other D'Amato that'll be on the caboose, Oakhurst. That's another horse with the same golden pattern. You know, last time he didn't get a very good trip, or she didn't get a very good trip, but kind of just had some trouble and traffic. And again, it was off the layoff. And, you know, these are both D'Amato horses going second off the layoff, had trouble trips before. Tactically, they complement each other. So I think there's no reason why they won't turn her loose on the front end, to make a pun. And Oakhurst will benefit from that if somebody goes with her or they heat up. Oakhurst should benefit as the horse I think is the best. A closer in the race. So those are the two I think it is. That would be my exact in here. I'll probably lean towards Turner Luce because she has a tactical edge, but Oakhurst could be a much better price. So, you know, a win bet will be kind of determined at post time, but for purposes of the pod, I'll go along with Christopher and go with Turner Luce as the pick.
Phew. I'm glad you did that because, I mean, not that it's bad for us to be on the same pick, but I do like Oakhurst and we've had too many of the same picks lately. So it's good that we're a little bit different. I do love the second off a layoff. Got down to a good number as a late 3-year-old. Should have developed some and is 4-1 morning line. I would also use Turner Luce for all the reasons stated. And I'd also use closing remarks, and I can do that because I have a single later. So even closing remarks may be the favorite. I think she has a perfectly good shot at winning. So I'll be using her.
Yeah, you know, the one horse that doesn't seem right in this race is the 5 Nez Blanche for Leonard Powell, who's had a great Del Mar meet on the turf. I mean, this horse has been pretty much what we call like a semi like marathon horse, where she likes to run pretty much around the distance between a mile and a quarter to 12 furlongs. And now they cut her all the way back to 9 furlongs. And she hasn't run this distance since August 22nd of 2020. So I think she may be in here just to pick up some black type, but I think as the 5-2 co-second choice with Turner Luce, I think that's the one horse that I will look to beat from finishing in the top three.
Yeah, I'm kind of against closing remarks, not because I don't think she can win, but I don't think she's any more likely. In fact, I think she's less likely to win than either one of the D'Amatos. So, you know, as the favorite, I'm definitely against her. You know, that's the one way to extract a little value in here is to eliminate her. And so I'll probably be, you know, playing the exacta 3-6, assuming that 4 and 5 are the favorites. And, you know, I think that you might get a little value there. And I'll be using those two in the picks. I'm trying to beat, you know, the two favorites in here. So I'm going to go, even though Scott and I both like Oakhurst, I'm going to toss closing remarks. Yeah. Maybe at my peril, but
and we both like Turner Luce too.
Yeah.
I like the field. Two D'Amatos the best, but you know, I'd hate to. I think closing remarks is right there with them. She's not as much value, but since I have a single later, I want to hit with that single if closing remarks wins. Okay, we'll go to the 8th race. Well, it's a starter allowance, 6 furlongs on dirt, purse of $43,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Chris, your chance to get us started.
Yeah, so this one looks pretty. I'm going to combine both the. Oh, no, my bad. Sorry, Chris.
Well,
I'm going to be Chris and you'll be Christopher. Okay, so we're going to come to
you. Okay, yeah, I'll be Christopher. Yeah, there we go.
But since you are the guest and you seem eager to jump in on this one, go ahead and start us off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, please. My bad.
All right. Well, I wasn't that anxious to get on this race. This is a tough race. It does seem like it's chock full of horses that are going to quit late. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of horses that want to be near the lead. Some are quicker than others, but the quicker ones definitely are a little suspect, you know, going even 6 furlongs. So I'm going to try to find a horse in this race that can sit off the pace and, you know, maybe has some upside. There are two horses. This is another one where there were two horses I was trying to decide between. And I'm not really sure which one's going to be the better price. I think I'll just go with the 12 Father Delay. He's coming off a layoff. That's the question mark with him. he's a horse that doesn't have to be on the lead. He can sit off his win where, you know, he sat a length or two off and then kind of drew off and won easily. He got claimed by his current trainer, Bob Hess. This was at Gulfstream Park earlier this year. Horse ran okay in the first start for them, but then went on the bench for a long time. So something went wrong. And now they bring her back at Del Mar, and there's the win and you're in bonus. It's the last week of the meet, last chance to cash in on that. You know, I'm hoping that they didn't rush this horse into this race. It does have six pretty good local works at Del Mar. And if it's ready, you know, it could be, you know, just the best horse in here. It may get bet off as well. It's hard to tell how they're going to bet this race in this big field. But tentatively, not with a lot of enthusiasm, I'll go with the 12. There was another horse I was considering as well, but I'll hold off on that. So Father Delay for me, very unenthusiastic pick in this race.
Father Delay got a 107N on time form for that nine-length victory at Gulfstream, which the N means it was such a breakout race that they don't know if they quite trust the figure, but they're going to keep the figure in there anyway. So big, big number for that horse. Christopher, what do you got?
Yep. So this one is what we talked about the Q1 squares. And optics notes, this is the type of race that Chris was saying I was really excited about. So number 10, the Bodian Bomber. So this horse here, to me, the last two dirt sprints are very good. So back on June 23rd, he pretty much won the pace battle and lost. He won the battle but lost the war as he was second being a length behind the closer, Big Cat Willie. And then last time out of Del Mar, she fell off the pace, made a run at the front runner Booksmart, and it was clearly second best. But this horse might have been best that day because on August 4th, according to the optics EQ notes, there was a strong track favoring horses that were 40 place or down on toward the inside on that August 4th track. And this horse was stalking from the outside and made that move against that lone front runner Booksmart. And today she's drawn outside again, which I like. But also, he is a square and up in on quadrant one on both on the optic standard and the surface distance of quadrant three. So with all the speed signed up, as Chris mentioned before, that are pretty much quitting speed, such as Devil's Moon. I think that Ramon Vasquez will have Bullion Bomb in the perfect spot to pounce when they turn for home. So I like the number 10, the Bullion Bomber, to spring us a minor upset.
Okay, the Bullion Bomber and Father Delay, both horses that I'm using. I did not look at the pace scenario before this, before the pod. And my top three picks are the first three horses in the time form U.S. pace projector. I'm gonna go with my initial pick, which is Midnight Fury. Has always been fast and has been especially fast since being gelded this year. The trainer hits at a 226 ROI first after the claim. a lot of speed signed on. The other two horses that I'm interested in, are Devil Moon and Mr. Disrespectful. Mr. Disrespectful. And they all seem to be wanting to fight for the lead. You don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to use 5 in this leg, but I'm picking Midnight and Fury on top because he's the best price.
Yeah, I'm tossing all your horses just because they all should have quit whenever they're in a battle. I just don't see any one of them getting clear. So those three I pretty much just tossed from a pace perspective. So if the pace doesn't heat up, then I'll be completely wrong, and you might have the trifecta there, Scott. But I'm going the other way on that. And the other horse I talked about I really liked was the one that Christopher pointed out, the Bullion Bomber. I am a little bit worried maybe that he gets too close to the lead. But with the outside post, I'm hoping they're patient and they do, you know, kind of try to go for the same trip they had last time. So And I'm just not sure which one's going to be a better price between the Bullion Bomber and Father Delay. One's 6-1, one's 5-1. I'm guessing maybe Father Delay will be bet down lower than the Bullion Bomber, but I'm just guessing at that. And it's really hard to tell. But to me, those are the two. And the 13, the other horse that should benefit from a fast pace. Those three, to me, kind of stand out as, you know, the horses that will take advantage of a hot pace, assuming that there is one. I think the winner will come out of those three. There was one other really speculative bomber I'll mention, but I'll toss it back to Christopher and Scott before I mention that.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I did not like in this race is that even though the 13 does take a drop in class coming from open 40 back to his restricted starter allowance, I'm kind of concerned about how this horse is actually going to break this time, because this horse has always had a tendency on the optics notes to show that he's a habitual slow starter. And when you have an apprentice who's a, who's coming in at 115, and they're not pretty much used to coming from off the pace. They're more inclined to be as a front end rider. That's when they get the apprentice for the weight allowance. I'm kind of against the 13 house too, just because a slow breaker. And the second start is that in the second reason B is just that I do not know how this rider, who is just an apprentice, is going to be able to handle coming from off the pace. Now, he may be able to just sit back and make one run, the speed collapses, but not for me.
Well, he does draw the extreme outside post in a race full of speed and horses that tend to quit. So if there was ever an ideal setup, he's got the right post and the right pace. You know, it's hard to not see this horse finishing up and at least hitting the board. He's the best closer probably. And, he'll probably get a setup. So I wouldn't bet him to win, but I'm just saying He's the other one I'm probably most worried about beating, either the 10 or the 12 would be the 13, just because he has run some pretty good figures and he should get the right kind of setup. And he draws a post where, you know, the right, given the fact he breaks slow and he tends to finish strong, you know, that outside post will work to his advantage, I think, especially if the track favors the outside, which seems like about half the time at Del Mar it does, half the time it doesn't. It's hard to tell, but there's definitely been days where, you know, you want to be middle outside and horses were swooping around the field and doing well. So if it's a day like that, it definitely could set up for him.
Yep, I can see that.
But at a short price, I agree, he's not the one to bet to win. Just the long shot I was going to mention was the 11 Worth Looking. He just has had miserable trips in all his starts. And so I don't know if his speed figures really represent what, you know, he's capable of. I just don't think we know what this horse can do yet. But he is one that can finish. And if he just ever gets a decent trip, he gets to the outside post again. So if he could just get a decent trip for the first time and get a setup from a pace standpoint, he's definitely one I think could clunk up for a piece. You know, in terms of like his buyer figure or whatever, you would look at it and say, you know, he doesn't have any chance. Well, like I said, he's only had three starts and that really none of those three has he had a real opportunity, I think, to show what he really is capable of running. So he's the kind that could, you know, win at a big price. And he's first off the claim. I don't know much about this trainer, Kelly Bainham. So, you know, that's another wild card. But anytime a trainer claims a horse, usually that's a good sign to me. So anyway, I wouldn't be betting the mortgage money on that horse, but I think it could surprise people. It may be better than you think.
Well, one thing that we can say about that trainer, she is hitting at 20% the last 90 days. That means three wins out of 15 races. I'm not sure where, but
20% in 20, you know, she's won, I think four races in out of 21 starts this year. She hasn't won at Del Mar, but she does have one. She hit the board once. So, I mean, the horse has won. So, I mean, the trainer has won some races. Just it's another thing for long shots. You know, anytime there's a change to me on a long shot, that's a positive. Anytime there's a change on a favorite, it's a negative. If some people might think that doesn't make sense, but for me, it just makes a lot of sense because, you know, you're looking for reasons to beat the favorite, you know, for a reason they might not run as well as they have, you know, that's a change might be that reason. And with long shots, you're looking for a reason why they might run better. And so some sort of change might be the reason. So I always view those differently depending on the price of the horse.
The trainer has three of her four wins this year are at PLN, whatever that track is. What is that track?
Pleasanton. The Cal Fairs.
Pleasanton, yeah.
It's a lower level.
Okay.
So a $25,000 claim for this barn is probably a pretty big investment, right?
It's a mortgage the house. Mortgage the house. We're worth looking. hopefully they're gonna.
I hope they have partners.
Yeah. Hopefully they're gonna think it's worth betting. Okay, yeah. We'll move to the next race.
It's worth
the ninth
looking
race.
At, though, right? Yeah.
So the ninth race is an allowance optional claimer, a mile on the turf, purse of $83,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Christopher, your turn to get us started.
Get ready for the bombs. So this race here, I was at Del Mar the day of August 19th when Geo Magical won and El Potente came in second. And so the one thing that was very vivid, one thing that was very apparent in that race was that it was a very inside flow type of racetrack where Geo Magical saved ground, El Potente was near the rail setting the pace. But there was one horse when I watched the replays, and then it was also on the optics notes, that was really hampered by the outside trip. Number four, Hakimini at 20-1 at Morning Line for Alfredo Sanchez and Hector Berrios. So this horse comes off back-to-back wide trips. The optics note says that, you know, back on July 1st, he had a wide trip, which when he broke from post six and from an eight-horse field and split the field, finishing fourth. And that was his first start off 146-day layoff. And then last time out, I mean, you can go watch the replay, but Hector Barros was trying to find some moment where he can get over to save ground going to the first turn, and he just couldn't. On that dog leg, around the dog leg leaving the chute, he was parked about five wide leaving the chute, and then continued racing about 3 to 4 deep the entire trip, and managed to finish seventh, being 7 1/4 lengths, you know, back on August 19th. Today, takes the blinkers off, goes from post 10 over to post 4, there is speed for him to run it. And I think what's going to happen is the speed will develop, string the field out. Hakimi will come over to the inside to save ground. And with Hector, he always loves to save ground. So you know this horse will get that ground-saving stock and pounds trip. So for me, in this race here, I think the upset's going to loom. Number four, Hakimi at 20-1 in the morning line.
Scott,
Hakimi, I was desperately trying to hit the mute button, the unmute. So Hakimi, 2 for 15 lifetime, most of those races in Chile, has one win in a stakes in Chile at 6.5 furlongs. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah. It turns out that Christopher and I are on the same horse. I like Hakimi. This trainer, Amador Sanchez, he's brought up some horses with some success from Chile, and I've been on those. I was on this horse last time. He had the golden pattern going into that race. It was his second U.S. start. His first one had been a trouble trip on the synth at Gulfstream. And, you know, I thought he was sitting on a big race. And as Christopher said, he really had no chance. He got hung really wide and just pretty much ran kind of a toss race. But he didn't completely pack it in, even though he had you know, a tough trip. But, you know, to me, this is sort of just a delayed golden pattern. He didn't have the opportunity to run the big race last time because of the trip. But now, you know, they bring him back and he still should be sitting on a career best effort. And they take the blinkers off. And I like the cut back in distance. Now, he was a 6.5 furlong to a mile runner in Chile. So I think cutting back to a mile from the bit longer in his last two will be help him. The better post will help him. And he has a good rider in a race that, you know, is really pretty wide open and he'll be a big price. You know, I got to play him back. I lost some money last time, but I still think I had a horse that's capable of winning, and now he's just going to be a bigger price. He was 10-1 last time. He's 20-1 in the morning line this time. So I'm hoping we'll get closer to that 20-1. Certainly can make a case for others in here, but for me, he's the play.
Okay. I have a single in here, and that is Seven Wonders. Is it he or is she?
She.
It's a he. I typed she for whatever reason. he's been fast since adding blinkers this year. He shows a circle back pattern towards his best, and the spacing is exquisite. He looks like he's going to run a new top, has a nice post position. To me, when I see a pattern like this, I say go time. So that's my horse. I do respect Domo Alligato and Dancing Rinka, but Seven Wonders, the single for me.
Christopher, jump back.
I actually like that horse as one of my top three. Simply because that race back on January 2nd is a complete toss. Bravo had no attempt to try to get this horse to save ground. And look who won that race, Exalted, who ended up winning like four or five straight until he got beat in last weekend's Del Mar mile on Pacific Classic Saturday. And so if Seven Wonders can just get over to save ground, because there's already a ton of speed. You know, Dobbin itself, the six is going to go to the front end. And so with Vasquez, all he has to do is just save ground and just find a trip from the inside before this horse, you know, gives a good kick. Because he broke his maiden on this turf course last year. And so I think that Seven Wonders is a good pick. The one horse that I want to discuss with, because I know it's probably get a lot of play, is the morning light favorite, number two, Seal Team. So he came off, this is a, you know, it's a three-year-old that takes on older today, and he's by Warfront out of the stakes winner, Mrs. McDougal. But even though he looked impressive, and he did win by 3 3/4 lengths, that was a really subpar field. You know, both Uncle Oscar and Caribbean King are both trial maidens, and I just don't see that, you know, today, even though he's making a second start, how he's going to be able to improve to face horses that are seasoned against winners. So, and as the 5-2 morning line favorite, he was the horse I'm trying to play against here. There is one horse that I want to look at as a long shot, and that's number 10, Wodaton, who, according to the optics notes on June 17th, it was pretty much almost like a given. It was pretty much what they were trying to do was just give this horse a prep race in the first start of a 265-day layoff. And, he just ran around the track, finishing last, beat 17 lengths. But that was a good field. You know, Cherubin Factor, the winner of that race, came back to win an allowance race and then ran second in the Green Flash Stakes last Saturday at Del Mar. And I don't know anything about this rider, Panici, but I do know that's Phil Diamato, and he's been red hot on the turf and stretching out from a sprint over to a route at 15-1. That's another long shot I'm considering, because I'm fading against the favorite.
Luca Panici is a Florida rider who's a longtime journeyman and is not very good. At least in my opinion, he's not very good. maybe this is another prep. I don't know. But from the 10 hole with him, The horse better be good, is all I can say, or lucky. So I would consider that a negative, especially with his unfamiliarity with the Del Mar turf course, which is a little bit quirky. So, you know, I would consider that to be a negative on that horse. But I, everything you said about the horse, I agree with. But just want to let you know that since you're not familiar with the rider, it's not a positive to see him on that horse. So you might want to factor that in.
He's winning it. Yeah. He wins in the last year. He's won 5% of his races on the turf. Although he's a good jockey to play on long shots at the NHC. I can't quote any, but you know, he'll bring in a long shot every once in a while.
Well, he gets on some live horses for some trainers, like Patrick Biancone. You ride him sometimes, and so I mean, it's not like he's ridden a lot of races. It's not like he doesn't experience. He's just not very good. He's, you know, on the turf, it's just making good decisions and understanding, you know, the feel, the race and stuff. And he just doesn't have that. He just on the turf, he's just not very good. So anyway, just since I thought I'd share that with you, since you said you weren't familiar with him. But the horse itself, I like everything you said about it. I agree. And Scott, you know, to me, Seven Wonders is the most likely winner. I'm a little concerned about the price, but with the Mandela horse maybe taking money and maybe Alligato off the bench take some money, maybe you will get 5-1, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that horse get bet down lower. We'll just see. But you're going to single him in the pick five, so it doesn't really matter. But from a win bet standpoint, I'm guessing he might get bet down a bit. But I agree with you. He's probably the most likely winner. There was one other horse I liked at a price in here besides Hakimi, and that was the 9 Dancing Rinka. I think both of you might have mentioned him. But this horse was really solid router as a 3-year-old, and then they tried him down the hill and he ran pretty well, and they just kept sprinting him, and they finally put him back routing, which I think seems to be his game. He's by Practical Joke, who's not a good route sire, but he's out of a Giants Causeway mare, who was a pretty good one, ran some pretty fast races. And, you know, so maybe a mile is better than down the hill for him. The horse responded with a nice effort last time. And, you know, it could improve with the second time routing here in a while. The post is a bit of a question, but it does have some tactical speed. It may or may not work in its favor, but I mean, a good ride, they could use the speed to get position and not go too fast early. This horse might be dangerous at a big price. It's 15-1 in the morning line. So that's the other one besides Hakimi at a big price that I like in here, the 9 Dancing Rinka.
Yeah, I would use the horse if I could afford to do more than a single. The post position is a little bit of a negative on that horse. 9 hole.
Yeah, yeah. It does have speed though. I mean, it clearly, if the rider's aggressive out of the gate, shouldn't be a problem. He definitely, there's not really much other speed inside him. I think the only horse, the one that Christopher mentioned, Dominant Soul, that horse is probably going to go, right? But other than him, there's really no other, you know, clear speed horses, except for maybe the 8. But ideally, those two would go, and Dancing Rinka could just settle in behind him and could really trip out. So that would be the ideal scenario.
Dominant Soul, just as a side note, is a double upgrade or a bold upgrade on racingflow.com. So if Paul Weiser was here, he'd be picking this horse. 12-1 morning line, that's a pretty good value on a bold upgrade.
Yeah, the horse could clear. And if it doesn't get pressure from like Yogi Boy, or maybe the other one that might want to go is Eastern Ocean, kind of drawn outside. They may, you know, be forced to go a little faster early. But if neither of those horses pressure the 6, there's no reason why that horse couldn't win. And it may be a price. it just kind of depends on what some of the others in the race do.
Okay, well, we'll move to the 10th race. It is the Del Mar Debutante, grade one, 7 furlongs on dirt, first of 300,000 for two-year-old fillies. Chris, what do you got?
Well, this is a tough race. These two-year-old filly stakes races, they're really interesting because a lot of times these fillies, especially the really fast ones, you know, they'll pop a huge race in their debut and never, ever run back to that race. And so a lot of times, you know, they'll run big early and never get back to it and you know, run really subpar races for the rest of their two-year-old season. And there's a whole bunch of potential candidates like that in here. A bunch of horses coming off of fast debuts, or in some cases their second start. And they're going to take a lot of money. And they're the kind I typically am against. So not only that, this race is filled with a bunch of horses that at least it's hard to say they're running style after one or two races, but at least in their first few races or first race, they wanted to be on the lead. So they're all going 7 furlongs for the first time. It's probably going to be very hot pace. A lot of these horses could regress off of big efforts last out. So it's kind of a prescription for anything to happen. I'm usually looking for a horse in this kind of race that has shown the ability to overcome some problems and finish their race off. And, you know, now they might get a much better setup than they had in their prior race and should be able to improve off that and may, you know, actually improve with the added distance. And for me, that horse is the, not a big price, but I think the price could go up when the betting is done. And that's the 13 Laurent, who, if you watch this horse's debut race, after the start of the race, you would have thought there was, the horse was 100-1 or 1,000-1 to win the race. I mean, it was completely left, dead last, hopelessly beaten, especially in a, you know, 5.5 furlong, 2-year-old maiden race, right? So, but somehow this horse starts to pick it up once it kind of got in the clear on the outside. It didn't like being in behind horses or getting dirt kicked in its face. But it took a while before it even caught up to the dirt because it started so poorly. But man, once this horse got in the clear, it just took off and just really showed a turn of foot you don't typically see in dirt sprints with two-year-olds. So this horse could be any kind. You know, the figure doesn't really mean much given the context of how the trip the horse had. It should get a great setup. It draws the ideal outside post where it can stay in the clear on that long, you know, straightaway, the 7 furlong. They get a long run of that first turn, can settle into a rhythm, stay in the clear. Probably will go a little wide, but if they're all backing up late, that might not matter. This horse might just be the best horse in the race. And she's 6-1 the morning line, but there's some horses in here like the Beholder Filly and the Rapoli Filly and the big Speedball Dreamfire. Those horses are going to take a lot of money. And in the big field like this with 2 or 3 horses taking a lot of money, I think this horse might go off at above 6-1. And like I said, this horse had a pretty impressive debut. Sometimes these kind of horses can fool you. It's not, the races aren't as good as they looked, but this horse really, really looked good just at the way it leveled off and just took off when it got in the clear.
Laurent actually gets a stellar workout report. August 26th, Dynamite Half in 46:40, best of a trio. So watch out for Laurent. Christopher, what do you got?
You know, I actually like the horse that Laurent beat. So I was there. You know, the one thing that was the day of the best cow, and I thought that track was very favorable towards the outside. And there wasn't any horses that were near the lead that won that day. And I gave an upgrade to horses that ran on the inside part of that main track or made moves on it. And number 10, Where's My Ring, fits that profile. He got, you know, in that August 13th race, he went up at 35-1. So he wasn't much, you know, there wasn't any word about this horse at all, you know, in the betting. And then this horse kind of broke a little bit slowly, racing the two path. Victor got him over to the inside, going around even the back stretch, and made this long, prolonged run around the far turn, and then was able to ease out into the three path, got to the lead, went over to the inside, and again got nabbed by Laurent right on the wire. I thought that was a huge effort by this daughter, Twirling Candy. And now today, second start for Val Bickerhoff. She's a well-bred daughter of a Twirling Candy. And I just think that with a better time ride today, going a little bit longer, then Where's My Ring can turn the tables on Laurent. So that's where my long shot stands. On number 10, Where's My Ring?
All right. I'm watching the replay right now. And if you had Where's My Ring in that last race, you were counting your money. In the stretch, and Laurent flew by in the stretch.
Six links in the last call. Yeah, she closed six links in the last call. Yeah,
pretty amazing. excuse me. Hold on a second. So this is a really tough race, and I'm not sure who to use. And I'll tell you one horse that I'm using, and it'll be my top pick, and that is Tamara. She stumbled badly. She recovered, then was super professional to win from the inside, you know, with plenty of horses to her outside. She grittily got through and won that her debut pretty handily. She's been working up a storm. You know, she overcame that trouble. I think she's something special, but she will be a low price. I don't think she'd be 7-2. I think she'd be like 9-5. And but she's my horse, and the only question is, what other horses do I use with her? Because I'm not singling her as a favorite.
Yeah, jump in, Christopher, if you got anything to add.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, to me, you know, if we're talking about just the horizontal bets, then we can structure bets leaving off, you know, with the anticipation that this is going to be a fast pace. You know, number seven, Dream Fryer, and number 8, Pushness, both won their major starts, you know, on the lead. And especially Dream Fryer, who last time out, according to Optics EQ, was hard used to make their lead. And so in that situation today, if number 7 is being hard used and pressed by the 8 Pushness, then I can definitely see a situation where the horses that are going to be anywhere near the front are going to collapse. And so I will look at, as you know, Laurent was, as Chris mentioned, is a contender. But then another horse that I would take a look at and was beaten by Tamara was number 5, Hope Road. Because Hope Road, 2 races back, you know, you can tell that race where she was just so green. You know, according to the Optics, it was green, wide stretch, move, blanket. So it was just very green, that race, and a better look performance. And last time out, was able to be on her near the lead, but never changed leads as Tamara, you know, blew by her in the stretch. I think today with the 7 and the 8 going out for the front end, I think number 5, Hope Bro, will revert back to her stalking style. And at 12-1, after being as one of the favorites in her last start, I think that she has a chance to be as one of the contenders to swing the upset in the Dunbar Debutante.
Yeah, I think Hope Road, I think, might have even been the favorite in that last race. We covered that on the pod. That was the race that...
She was the favorite. I think she was the favorite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be a shock, clearly, you know. The thing is, I'm a little worried. I don't know what they're going to do with this horse. She was on the lead last time. If they try that in here, you know, she is kind of towards the inside, then I don't like her at all. But if she, you know, if they can get her to settle. I mean, at the first time, I think she just got a slow start is why she came from off the pace. So you know, I'm just a little worried that she might be up there in that hot pace. But if not, she certainly would be no surprise. Kind of the other long shot I liked in terms of a closer that I think could improve is the 12 horse Gate to Paradise, who's, you know, by Arrogate and ran a pretty good debut. It kind of, you know, for a barn that typically doesn't send them out cranked up, and, you know, Shira's barn ran kind of a nice even race, kind of sat mid pack and, you know, didn't make any strong close, but didn't really give up any ground late either. Looked like the kind of horse that really needs longer, being by Arrogate and out of a more than ready mare, you kind of would think, yeah, this horse may need longer. So now they stretch it out second start to 7 furlongs. It draws a nice outside post here and a race at full speed. That's another one that 20-1 on the morning line, you know, that's the kind that could really shake things up, possibly on the win end, but at certainly, you know, in the vertical exotic place. So the 12 Gate to Paradise might be the gate to riches in this race at a big price.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted because I'm watching replays. I'll mention a really interesting angle on Where's My Ring. So Laurent gets a Racing Flow downgrade. That doesn't mean anything, as Paul Weiser will tell you. It doesn't mean anything if it's just one race. But she does get a downgrade because she was on a track that had a closer favorability rating of 94 on a scale of 100, 94, 100 being absolute closer heaven, 94 being very close to that. Where's My Ring also came from off the pace, but was closer to the pace and took the lead early. And she gets an upgrade, and the reason why she gets an upgrade is because it's called a quick to zip pattern, where it's a closer bias, but she moved too early and she got nipped at the end. She's 15-1. I'll absolutely be using Where's My Ring, but I'm also going to use Laurent because, you know, any horse that closes like that after the trouble that she had has to be used. So I'm with you guys. And, Hope Road also still kind of interests me. It has a very small move from one race, first race to second race on the sheets. And often that's a precursor to a big pop. So I would also be using Hope Road, who also gets a Racing Flow upgrade because Tamara gets a Racing Flow downgrade, which, because it was a closer's track. To me, that doesn't mean anything because she also overcame trouble. So there's a lot of angles to go on in this race. I'll be going kind of deep.
Yeah, it's a tough race. I will mention one other horse. I've already talked about two of them, so I'll pick a third. The 4-horse Benedetta chased Dreamfire last time, who kind of, you know, had everything her own way and, you know, rode the bias and an easy lead to a win. But she ran a decent second against that. You know, the favorable setup that Dreamfire had. And now they go blinkers off on that horse. So it seems like they're going to, and she was able to sit off a little last time. So maybe, you know, she's one that with the blinkers off, maybe can, if she can work a trip sitting off the speed, she's another one that might be finishing up pretty well and could be a big price. I don't like her as much as some of the others I talked about, but you know, to me, she's one with the equipment change and going from a race where she had to face a speedy horse that got loose and she had to be forced into sort of chase mode. And now they take the blinkers off and there's a race full of speed. She might be able to just let others do the dirty work and they can get her to relax. She might be able to finish up.
Okay, we'll move to the last race of the sequence. It's the 11th, a maiden special weight on the turf, a mile, purse of 82,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Christopher, how are we going to get paid in this last leg?
Yep. So the number 6, I'm going to go against the favorite here, Spycatcher, because number 1, this horse has a tendency to be a bridesmaid, even if he's been running against you know, in the Hollywood Derby, the Green Bar, the Del Mar Derby, and in a stake in the overnight stakes, the Leather Ride Stakes here last year. But that was 280 days ago. And I know Mark Glad does well. I mean, he had a horse that ran earlier this meet that won off the layoff. But to bet a horse that is still a maiden after six starts, obviously has a penchant for running second. And now today is going to be the favorite off a long layoff. I'm gonna take a shot again. So I'm gonna go for number one, Steve Cortez. You know, it's first time Diamato with Hector Barrios. And the one thing I like about this horse is that in his only start, you know, last year in November at Dundalk, was able to finish second in a full field of 14 horses. So I know this horse doesn't mind being in and among horses because this horse just ran second in a large field. This has been a successful pattern before for Diamato previously for this ownership group. And I think from the rail, first time in the U.S., first time Lasix, I think it's go day on number one, Sea of Cortez in the finale.
Okay, Sea of Cortez. I don't have a short quip for Sea of Cortez, but second out, good luck. Chris, what do you got?
Sea of Cortez, beautiful place. If you've never been there, it's beautiful. It's on the Pacific in Mexico, and I've been there. It's beautiful. So if you ever want to go on a vacation somewhere, Sea of Cortez. Not that, and it's not that far south. So I mean, it depends on where you live. Where I live, it's kind of far south. Where you live, it's kind of far south. But for Christopher, it wouldn't be that big a trip if he hasn't been there before.
No,
I don't disagree with what Christopher said, but you know, I got to say a few things in defense of Spycatcher. Yeah, he's an 0 for 6 maiden, but his last race was a grade one where he got beat 3/4 of a length and second to Speaking Scout. So, yeah, if he had been in a field of maidens, he'd have won that race by 20 lengths. So,
I know, Chris.
in the great
always a bridesmaid.
Derby. Yeah, he was second by a half to Slow Down Andy in the grade two Del Mar Derby, you know, in very fast races. So, I mean, to say he's a bridesmaid or, you know, he's a second-itis horse, he was a maiden going against grade one and grade two horses, and he almost won. I mean, come on, give the horse some credit. If it runs its race, it will crush this field. I mean, how many grade one horses are in this race? Probably none. Now, but there is the question mark. He has had the really extended layoff, and, you know, he is a grade one placed horse. So clearly winning a maiden race isn't the main objective with this horse. So all that is true, but let's not degrade the horse's ability because he hasn't won a race. I mean, he's accomplished more than 99% of the horses in America, and that is he's finished second, you know, less than a length beaten in a grade one and a grade two. How many horses can say that? Not very many. So let's not talk about him like he's some, you know, pathetic second place horse that's going to be a lifetime over 25 maidens. So I got to jump in on that. I got to call you on that one.
The owners of Spycatcher are gonna send you a direct message on Twitter saying thank you so much for defending our horse, Chris.
But I do think he's going to get crushed because of that. Everything I said, they're going to crush the horse. It's not going to be 9-5. It's probably going to be 3-5, you know? So I get it. I'm going to try to beat him too, but I'm not going to try to beat him because I think he likes to run second. You know, I think I wouldn't be shocked at all if he wins this, you know, under wraps by 5. He should, if he's ready, but that's a big if. So, you know, they have to run the race. And I agree that, you know, Sea of Cortez is one of the ones that, you know, if he doesn't fire his race, anything could happen. But certainly Sea of Cortez, you know, not that was a 14-horse field. And I did not watch that replay, but I read the notes and they say he dwelt at the start. So, you know, dwelt is usually means that they spot the field quite a bit out of the gate. And, you know, to run second by a neck in a 14-horse field, that was probably a better than looked effort then. So, the only problem with these Euros is sometimes that's how they break in their U.S. debut. Although he's been over here for a long time, the D'Amato barn, you kind of hope that he's got that figured out a little better. But, you know, that I can see you going with him. For me, the one I was going to try to beat the favorite with, but if I bet this race in verticals, I will definitely play an exact underneath Spycatcher. Is the 5-horse Tokamak, who I've been saying this pretty much every race that wasn't a 2-year-old race today. This was another horse with the golden pattern. He's second off the layoff, and his last race was clearly, you know, a prep. It was a dirt sprint, you know, and he's a turf router. So there was clearly not much intent to win. That was just to get a race under his belt. Now he goes second off the layoff. They stretch him back out on the turf. He was pretty good as a 3-year-old. You know, he should be sitting on a career best race. He's a big price, 20-1 on the morning line. If they hammer Spycatcher, you could get that 20-1 or more. And even if he runs second to Spycatcher, you probably get a pretty good exacta. The big negatives for him are the trainer and rider. I've never been an Owen Hardy fan. He just doesn't win races when I play his horses.
Yeah, except that one time you picked a 15-1 of his at Del Mar and he won. It was a grade 2 dirt stakes a few years ago.
Yeah, you're right. I did. I that was one out of a lot. But I mean, maybe he'll do it again in here. That's what I'm hoping, because I think I like what he's done with the horse. I like the way he gave it a prep. You know, I like, you know, that he's found the right spot for this horse. He just got unlucky that Spycatcher drew in. The rider doesn't thrill me much either, Drayden Van Dyke. But he did win a race not long ago. So maybe, you know, even though the rider and trainer aren't my favorites, maybe the horse will carry them in here. And I'm kind of hoping maybe that they scratch Spycatcher. I'm not sure why, but I guess they just want to get that win so people like Christopher won't be saying this horse is Scott Secunditis. You know, when he wins by 10 in a maiden race, you probably won't hear that anymore. So maybe that they're just trying to shut up the haters out there. So anyway, I'll shut up now and let you jump in, Scott.
Okay. Well, I initially was going to go with Tokamak. But I found another horse while you guys were talking. Found another horse that I liked. I didn't have time to look up his pattern, but I looked up his pattern, and I'm going with the Big O from Fresno to win this race. Dan Blacker is really hot as a trainer. He's 4-for-19 at Del Mar. So this horse is turf bred. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about like how many wins and all that, but the figures of the dam were best on turf. And he also has a sibling that also had best figures on turf. And he debuted on dirt sprinting, and now he's moving to a mile on the turf. So it's one of my favorite angles to look up is second start, dirt to turf, sprint to route. How do they do? And this trainer is 2-for-8 with a 4.73 ROI. He has 2 wins with this angle. And one of those horses was Hit the Road, who ran a completely dull first race at like 26-1 on dirt, going 4.5 furlongs at Santa Anita. And then he went a mile on the turf and he won at 9-1. So I think this horse could have that kind of potential, but I will be going a little deep in this race because, as you know, I have that single of 7 wonders earlier. I will use Tokamak and I will use Spycatcher for sure. You know, maybe not with Tamra, but I will use those 3 at a minimum. And Big O from Espresso, Big O from Fresno. Hopefully, we'll do it at 20-1.
Christopher, anything else on this race?
Yeah, you know, the 8 Chase Tornado, it looks like if you look at the running line of that horse, it looks like it came in and rallied to pick up second, but it just really inherited second because Watsonville in that July 29th race, who came back to win, rallied already past him. And then Chase Tornado just really picked up second from Smooth Salute. So I don't really think that running line is really indicative of of that last place, that second place finish that's shown on the form. And so that's the one horse that I would say is not as good as his money line would indicate.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be sort of, he and Sia Cortez are kind of the obvious second and third choices behind Spycatcher. So depending on how they bet Spycatcher, you might get a decent price to win. But in like the exotics, the verticals, I think those will be really low prices if you're playing the, if you play the eight and the one with the six, that's probably going to get way over bet. So
yeah,
you know, I kind of like trying to fade both of those, if you can, in the exotics, if you're going to play this race. And, you know, Scott, the big O from Fresno is kind of interesting for the reason you said. The one thing that stands out for me with him is it was, you know, August of his four-year-old year before he made it to the races. So that's usually not a good thing. But it does tell you that, you know, maybe, and he is bred for the turf, so maybe that was just a prep and he could run much better. But, you know, I just don't know if, you know, Hit the Road, the one you talked about before, that was like a two-year-old race probably, or a three-year-old race on debut. That's a lot different than, you know, as a four-year-old in August. So this horse took a long, long time to get to the races, you know, and so you got to wonder about that. That's a big question. But if that really was a prep, he didn't run that bad, and he is sort of bred for the turf. So I wish he had a little better post, but I mean, he is a wild card and a big price, you know, in this race after Spycatcher, anything could happen. So I wouldn't talk you at all out of that. It'll be real interesting to see what that horse does. But
I mean, you know it's not ideal that, you know, the horse starting as a 4-year old, but the Dam had two wins and they were both routing on the turf. And Siblings, Starlight Style, 3 for 20 on the turf. Couldn't dirt for anything. Speeding Style, 1 for 2 on the turf. And then one other horse that ran on the turf was 1 for 1. So, you know, and I like that Joe Bravo was on for that prep. So as if they said, like, hey, this is going to be a prep. So let's just get a race into her, get a race into him, and see where we go from there.
Yeah, that one's a wild card. I wouldn't be shocked if it ran off the board and never raced again. I wouldn't be shocked if it won the race. I mean, it's a real wild card.
Yeah, especially how Dan Blacker is going right now in the last 2 weeks. You just never know. I mean, he can surprise at 20-1, or he can run up the track, just like, you know, he can run up the track. So I agree with you, Scott. Big O from Fresno is interesting based upon the pedigree. And, you know, he really was wide last, I mean, post 10 from 11, but when the optics notes say X wide, then you know it's very wide. And he actually did well to finish eighth in that race, making a little bit move to the stretch.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if he really is meant to turf route, then he's dangerous.
Okay, well, I have to wrap it up early because I got to run, guys. But thank you for doing the pod. I think we got some nice value picks here, and hopefully we can hit it. On that note, I'd like to thank our guest, Christopher Ado. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That will conclude show number 242 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck at Del Mar and wherever else you play. Please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings.
Cheers. Giddy up.